If you are a single mother, a divorcee, or a widow, and you're tired of spending Shabbat alone, and maybe you also need a little extra help with the groceries, this episode is for you. Welcome to America's Top Rebbetzins. May this class be for Rafu Shalema, for Lior ben Michal, Lotan ben Naomi, Matan ben Miriam, and Mayan bat Racheli. Please click on the subscribe button to subscribe to us on the America's Top Rebbetzins YouTube page, or click follow to follow us on your podcasting app so that you are the first to know when an inspiring new episode is posted. I am honored to have on today's show Yehudis Sherman. Yehudis founded and runs an organization called Mishpatenu. Mishpatenu is an organization based in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. Its mission is to support Jewish single mothers, divorcees, and widows. It offers nurturing community meals and critical resources to women in times of isolation and despair. When Yehudis became a single mother, she discovered firsthand the loneliness that many women experience on Shabbat. Being a people person, Yehudis opened her home and her heart to help others like herself celebrate Shabbos with joy, with unity, and with the warmth of community. Today, Mishpatenu services have expanded to also include a food pantry, counseling, and other much-needed resources. It provides a comprehensive support system that empowers and uplifts women at a time in their lives when they really, really need it the most. Thank you so much for being here. Please tell us more about yourself and what you do.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. It's really a privilege to be here.
Thank you.
When I became a single mother, I invited two women to come for a Shabbos. And I guess they liked what they were, you know, they enjoyed coming for Shabbos. And they asked if they can have bring another friend. And then more friends were coming. And it went from having two women to having a probably guest list of close to 400 people that have been to my house. When I first started this, I never dreamed that this was, that my pain would become such a big gain, that this is what Hashem had in mind for me. And I see how Hashem wants it to happen, because in my, you know, how things happen, I can be at the Kohl's store and someone will say, why are you shopping so much? Are you having a lot of guests? And I'll say, I am having a lot of guests, but I have an organization. I host a lot of women. And from that comes, like, I just see how Hashem's hand is in everything, that how what I thought was the very, very worst thing ended up being such a beautiful thing and helping so many women who would have probably not been keeping Shabbos possibly. I have women who tell me that they dreaded Shabbos and now they look forward to Shabbos. They're looking forward to Shabbos and then they're bouncing off the Shabbos that they just had and looking forward to Shabbos again. It has literally changed lives. It's something that I see the Siyata Deshmaya and the Shabbosim are so beautiful. You can't describe it in words. It's just, if someone would tell me to ask you to say, what is Shabbos like? They'll say it's beyond words. We can't explain it. We feel the Shechina. There's nothing like this anywhere in the world. And I'm not saying this because it's my Shabbos. It's something that everybody says. When the women come, before I accept them to come for a Shabbos, I tell them, Shabbos is holy. And it's not when you come here, even though we're a bunch of women that are divorced and almanas and people that have gone through a lot, leave your problems outside. You want to pick it up on your way out, you could. But when you walk into this door, they're muktzah. We're not interested in hearing about your ex-husbands, about the lawyers and the custody problems. And it's just not fair. Everyone has their own problems. And when they walk it out, they can't take your problems with them. So at first, when I first said this, and I see it when the new people come, they think, you know, here, they now I'm at a place where people are going to support me. They're going to help me. They're going to listen to me. So I say straight up, you need a therapist. You're very welcome to go to one, but it's just not fair. It's muktzah on Shabbos to discuss problems. And we really, Shabbos is just, it's the ruchnias, the gashmias that goes on over here is beyond description. We learn Zeres Shimshon every week. We go through the parsha. We have a book, actually. Everyone gets a book. I have it behind me, on the beauty of Shabbos. And everyone gets a turn to talk, and you know, everyone shines. Everyone's everyone just knows that the negativity is not something that is allowed here. And it's become so ingrained in them that there's only positive talk here, that, you know, when someone new comes and they don't know yet how positive yet, you know, we want this place. If I go into the kitchen and this one woman thinks that now she can catch in her negative talk, someone will come in the kitchen and say, you know, just go into the dining room. And I'll say, what, why? And she'll say, just go in the dining room. And as soon as I walk in, it's like I became the policeman. And the lady will say, oh, I'm sorry, I won't talk like that. I'm like, I don't even know what the conversation is about. But they know that this is not accepted here.
So and what are the types of things that they do talk about? Like, what are the, I know that there's a lot of positivity, a lot of ruchnius, a lot of, you know, Shabbos Kodesh that goes on in your house. Like, what kind of conversation is there? Like, I would love to hear, like, what's the topic of conversation where everybody's sitting around the Shabbos table?
So first of all, we go through the Zeres Shimshon, and then we'll have like a topic. Everyone gets a turn to talk. We go around the table. After every few people, we'll sing the smiris, I'll serve the next course. But by the end of the meal, everyone gets a turn to talk. So like, every week I'll pick another topic, like Rosh Chodesh Adar, it was Shabbos this year. So I asked them what the topic was, what makes you happy? What is the definition of happiness? And what do you do when you're not happy, when you're down? How do you bring yourself out of that slump to become happy again?
Beautiful.
And it's interesting because a lot of people learn different tools that other women are using, and they learn a lot from each other. We share.
Right.
The table is so busy with positivity. There's really no time for other kind of talk. And you see the women that came like a year ago, 3 years ago, they changed, they're transformed. And women who haven't been here for a while, and they'll see those other women that were there a year ago, they'll say, what happened to her? She became so happy. Like, what's going on here?
Right.
And it's really, really the Shabbosim. It's not just the Shabbos. It's during the week they made new friends, and they're good friends. I'm very careful to take people in that are not going to bring other women down. And that's in Ruchnius and in depression. I have an achrayas here. These are women who are alone, and they're looking for more friends. And if I'm gonna bring in people that are not good for them, then they become friends with them. It's on me. So I have to be very careful.
Right. So how do you find out? Well, first of all, how do people find out about you? You know, because I know that you're located in Borough Park, but I also know that you sometimes host people from Florida or California or Northern New York. How do people find out about you? Like, if somebody really wanted, you know, is feeling lonely, maybe they're divorced, a single mother, a widow, and they really would love to have the company of other like-minded women on Shabbos, how could they find out about you or get in touch with you?
I guess it's word of mouth. I mean, the way you found out is the way other people find out.
Right, through word of mouth, yes.
It is word of mouth. I have a lot of people that come from all over, and I have here, I have Nasa Sarkim. I just moved into this house. I lived in on a house with 3 floors. Now it's 4 floors. And unfortunately, I only have the house for another year and a half. I have to soon start looking for another house. But right now, this house, I can have about 12 ladies sleeping here. And that's for the women that are from out of Borough Park. The women in Borough Park, they walk in. And I have women every week from different places, sometimes from Monroe, from Crown Heights, from Five Towns, from Edison, everywhere. And what's nice about it is that you could be very Hasidish, you could be Lithvish, Yeshivish, more modern. You could be 20, you could be 50, 60, doesn't make a difference. If you sit down at the table, it's like, you just don't know it, and you don't see anything else, just that we're sisters, and we're coming here to enjoy a beautiful Shabbos. It's just incredible.
So it's almost like, even though you're not talking negativity, it's almost like a built-in support group with like-minded people, people who've been, you know, through something similar that you've been, maybe not exactly, but something similar. And they're just all getting together. And it's a great way to meet new people. It's a great way to make new friends that they can keep in touch with during the week.
Right. And what's amazing about it is that you don't even need to open your mouth. Everyone understands that we all get it.
Yes.
We all know, we all understand what it feels like to be a single mom. we don't have to explain ourselves to anybody.
Right.
You know, it's a support group, and it's positive. It's not a place where we come to cry.
Right. So all the women understand each other without even, you don't even have to say anything because they're all kind of in the same boat, which is really, really nice.
Right. Yeah.
That's beautiful. And then, so I want to like really paint a picture for the people who are listening. So the women come from all over, and you're able to host some people from out of town. So if they come from outside of Borough Park, they don't have to worry about finding accommodations elsewhere. You have room in your home to host a certain number of women, which is nice.
Yes.
So they'll come on Friday, obviously before Shabbos. I guess they'll light candles at your house. Is there a shul? Like, do you guys go to shul?
They have the option. We have a shul right next door. We have a shul around the corner and across the street. That's not a problem.
Okay.
There's a lot of shuls here. When the women come in, first of all, the table is set. I set the table already from Sunday, Monday. My table's already set for Purim.
Wow.
They're treated like queens. There's all kinds of, you know, if someone is on a special diet, like gluten-free, I have it. I usually cook because I know a lot of ladies are on diets. And the table is set, you know, every week a different setting, and it's something that they look forward to. Sometimes it has a theme. So, like one Shabbos, we had a thank you Hashem theme. So, I had little thank you Hashem magnets. What else did we have? There's always a different, you know, a different theme. I'll put a smiley for Simcha. I could send you the pictures. Really, some of them are very nice.
Yes, I know that you're really well known for setting a beautiful table, like really, like your table is like landscaped or tablescaped, as they say. Like, it's really, really gorgeous. It's something to look at. It's not just a regular Shabbos table. It brings Shabbos to life with a lot of ruach, which I think is gorgeous because it really sets the mood. It sets the mood for Shabbos.
They feel like, first of all, there's a lot of food, different kinds,
Yes.
like five kinds of salmon. When someone sees that, they know they're not taking, they don't have to be worried that they're taking the food out of anyone else's mouth. There's plenty of food. And it's like, this is all for me. I'm a queen over here. They come here, they can't get this in a five-star hotel. So there's so much.
Right. Oh, I know. Yes, you do all different types of salmons and different salads and chickens and meats and everything, which I think is incredible. It's amazing. How long does it take you to cook, just out of curiosity? Because there's so much. Do you first of all, well, do you have help cooking, or do you cook by yourself? How long does it take you?
I start cooking on Wednesdays, like Wednesday night. I start preparing like the lakshin, but I'll make the lakshin kugel on shop on Thursday. I do it all Thursday. Thursday night I have one of the women, she comes to help me.
Very
She
nice.
helps me wrap it up and put everything away. Putting it away is a big job also.
Yes, it is. Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay, so then you have the Friday night meal, and then everybody either goes upstairs to sleep, or they go, if they live in Borough Park, they go home, and then they come back on Shabbos day on Saturday.
No, they sleep by me. The women sleep by me.
No, the ones that live in Borough Park.
Oh, so shop Friday night, it's really for the women who sleep by me. And
Okay.
whoever wants to walk in, could walk in. They're welcome to come to that meal.
Okay.
But Shabbos day is like the main meal that people walk in.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's really for the women in Borough Park as well as the women that are sleeping by you.
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice. And so tell me about the Saturday meal. Like, do you sing? Do you sing Nigunim? What do you do?
And also, I try to keep it very structured, as you know, the women have had so much turbulence in their life, and coming here for the Shabbos, the consistency is it helps them. It helps them know that there's one thing that's structured. We sing the same zmiras. We have Mishpachtenu zmiras. They know we have to get, like, one time we didn't have enough time to sing all the zmiras, and one lady said, 1 minute, we didn't sing Dvaryik, but we have to sing that, and the same tune and the same. It's just, they know, they feel good that there's one thing in their life that's not changing on them.
Right. So in addition to the Shabbos, in addition to the Shabbos meals, you also have a food pantry, right? During the week, if they need something, can you tell us about the food pantry?
Yes, we have now, it's before Purim. I just got in from one of the at Bloom's. They just sent me a bunch of ready mishloach manas, so the women don't have to go shopping and, you know, spend the money on making mishloach manas. We have here beautiful, beautiful mishloach manas, chocolates and ready-made package, gorgeous stuff. They come here, they could give it to their kids, they can give it to whoever they need to give it to. Everything is ready for them, and it's very exciting for them. I get before Pesach also beautiful stuff, chocolates, like luxury items that, you know, they wouldn't normally be buying for themselves.
Right.
Different kinds of nash and you know, regular basics also. But it's a very big treat for them. And all year I also have, you know, things that come in.
Right. So, okay. Yeah, for sure. On Yontif, it's more like, it's more of a rush, more, they probably feel more of an urgency, more of a pressure to get those items for themselves, for their children, for their families. But like during the week, do you have anything, like if they need ketchup or mayonnaise or napkins, you know, just like the basic essentials?
Yes. They can, garbage bags, paper goods, cleaning agents, soap, detergent, mayonnaise, ketchup, you know, a lot of stuff. They come away with a very big savings. They come here first before they do their shopping, the regular shopping.
Okay, which is smart, very smart. And I know that you also offer counseling services, which is like, I guess, another branch of what you do. Can you tell me a little bit more about that, please?
So I'm not going to say that I'm not a therapist. Right. We don't do counseling, but I think that the Shabbos itself is a very big therapy. Just, I think that when you just pity yourself and you're crying all the time, it's not always, I think the friendships and the Shabbosim is the therapy, is making friends and not being by yourself is part of the healing. So I guess that would be, you know, part of the counseling. Of course, I talk to the women during the week, and I know what's going on in most of their lives. They share it with me, and I try to be a listening ear. I'm not going to call myself a therapist, though.
Right, no, for sure not.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, Mishpatenu really does so much for these women. So, so much. The Shabbos meals, the pantry, the friendships that they form, and which I think is so incredible. And it sounds like it's so much needed in the lives of these women. It's a lifeline for single women. So can you please share with us a story or two about some of the women who have come to your Shabbos table or your food pantry and have really, truly benefited from what Mishpatenu has to offer?
So I could say that I have women who have, I have a woman that told me that after having 10 children, she got divorced and she had nowhere to go. And she took off her sheitel. She started becoming more, I would say, getting into the wrong crowds, only because she had nowhere to go for Shabbos and she was so lonely. And we know that loneliness brings all kinds of, you know, things we don't want to do.
Right.
And she got into the wrong crowd and was doing, you know, doing things that weren't according to Torah Halacha. And she, Baruch Hashem, she pulled herself together. She got remarried. And when she meets me now, she tells me that that was such a dark time for her and such a bad time for her that now every month she gives money towards Mishpachtenu, because she said if Mishpachtenu would have been in her city, if she would have known about Mishpachtenu, this would not have happened. She cries about that horrible time for her because she says she was so depressed, was nowhere to go. And I just want to explain something, that even when a single woman gets invited, if she gets invited, many, even if it's her favorite sister, her best friend, It's still, they feel like a pity case sometimes. I'm not saying everybody and everywhere, but what Mishpachtenu offers is that if you come here, it became a family of sisters. Everybody knows each other. Everybody understands each other. It doesn't take long to get to come in and be welcomed. When a lot of women are alone, they wait for an invitation. If they don't get invited, they say no one cares. When they get invited, they're like, I feel like a pity case. It's a balance of you don't know what's the right thing to do.
Right,
so
right.
So kind of solves that problem, that everyone's in the same boat. We don't have to feel bad about ourselves over here.
Right. Oh, for sure. For sure. And I love that. I love it because, I mean, it's, it's almost a sisterhood that you've created, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that you touched the lives of so many women, and it really, Mishpachtenu is such a worthwhile organization. My question is, how do you get your funding? Because you need the food just for the Shabbos, you need the food for the pantry, the food for the house. There are a lot of expenses that go along with what you do.
Yes, a lot. And, you know, when I first signed up for Mishpachtenu, I didn't know that I was getting into this. You know, I just want to share one little story, and I think I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable. I never shared this story. Even my kids don't know the story.
Wow.
It's before Purim, so I'm going to say it now. And one of the first Purims after I became single, my kids told me before Purim that they're going to go to their father's family for Purim, for the Suda. So they came to say, you know, happy Purim before they went to the Suda. But I felt like it was a very big, it was the first time I was alone. It was very hard for me. And I really feel like this Purim, Hashem showed me, this is what, that I needed to do Mishpachtenu. I invited 6 ladies to come. I made stuffed cabbage. I cooked. That was all, you know, okay, I won't be alone. I'm going to invite other women. Out of the 6 ladies, at first, nobody came. I was devastated. I was just so alone. This Purim, and this was like the first time I was alone. And I just started crying. I remember davening, taking the siddur and davening. I said, I know that Purim is like a very special time to daven. And I said, Hashem, help me, that I should not have, this is terrible. I don't want to be alone.
Right.
And, you know, my niece came to bring me a Mishloach Manos, and my mascara was all runny, and I looked terrible. Then when one of the ladies came knocking at the door with her little Mishloach Manos, she showed up, and she opened the door, and I just put my head down on her shoulder, and I started crying, and she understood me. But I have to say that the time that I was davening, I really said, Hashem, I got to do something. This is something. I'm not the only one in the world that's going through this.
Right.
And after that Purim, people just wanted to come. I didn't know what was going on. Like, what was so, like, I didn't understand what were they seeing that was so beautiful by my Shabbosim. I guess Hashem put me in the situation so that, you know, I guess I was the one. I'm so happy, and I'm so, like, it was a very big plus for me that I should be able to do this. So that's my story.
It's a beautiful story and very timely, because we're recording this just a couple of days before Purim 2024. So this is really, really perfect timing. And I love what you said even at the beginning when we first started talking about Yad Hashem, like the hand of Hashem is in everything. I think you just illustrated that. I think you just really, really told us a story that really, really showed that. And through your pain and through what you were going through, I mean, this was going to be your very first Purim alone, you know, so many years ago. This was going to be your very first Purim alone. And you don't know how many other people were in your situation. Maybe it was the first Purim, maybe they were the second Purim, maybe it was the 30th Purim, but you're still alone. When you're alone, you still have that, you know, that void, that sense of, you know, I wish I was with somebody, you know? So, and that this, your feelings of loss and wishing you were with somebody and wishing you were with, you know, people and community, that's what led you to create Mishpachtenu for yourself, but also for so many other people who benefited so much from it.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So I just want to say that was the one Purim that I, you know, that didn't happen again, Baruch Hashem.
Right.
My kids came to me, you know, all the Purims afterwards, but Hashem put me through that pain at that Purim to make right. this happen. And also, I had one of the first 2 women that came to me, she told me that if she started coming to me every Shabbos, and she said before that, she'd come home from work, light the Shabbos candles, and then go to sleep till Matzah Shabbos. It was too painful for her to be home alone on Shabbos.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, I get that. Yes.
So as far as the funding is not one of my favorite things to do. I'm actually very shy by nature. So calling people and asking people for money is very, very difficult for me. And I see that Hashem helps me. I see literally miracles every single Shabbos. And a lot of people who have helped me, you know, help Mishpachtenu, they're telling me that they want to keep giving because they're seeing a lot of Siyata Dishmaya, that their business got better, or more, they're getting more clients. So I see that Hashem really likes Mishpachtenu. He's happy with it. I remember the first Shabbos that I realized I'm having a lot of people for Shabbos. Like, I was having 40 people the first time, and I went shopping, and I came home, and I didn't even know where to put all the stuff. I had one refrigerator.
Oh, yes.
And I remember saying, Hashem, like, where am I supposed to put all this? I need a new refrigerator, and I need it now. And I don't have the strength to go schnurring for this month, for refrigerator. And it was Thursday night, and this lady calls me and tells me, I hear that you're having this big Shabbos, and there's this woman who needs to go that needs a place for Shabbos. Do you still have room? Do you have enough food? I said, I have enough food. I have so much, and I still have another spot left in my dining room. I have so much food, I don't even know where I'm going to put it. So 5 minutes later, she calls me back, and she tells me, I ordered a refrigerator for you. It's coming tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah. And it was funny. The next day, the refrigerator didn't show up till like 10 minutes before Shabbos. And they didn't want to bring it in because someone was parked in my driveway. But we got it in. And, that's how it goes here. I could be in the Kohl's store, in the grocery store, and someone will come over to me and say, I heard you do Mishpachtenu, can I give you $100? Thank you, Tiskol Mitzvahs.
Amazing.
And a few weeks ago, I had a big, two big wagons. I was pulling up to the cashier, and a lady says, why are you buying so much? I said, I'm buying it for my pantry. That Thursday, she sent her cousin to come and help me peel potatoes and apples. So,
wow.
I see how Hashem helps, and I need a lot of money here, especially now that we have to move again in a year and a half. And this moving is, the rent is extremely high here to get to rent a big house in Borough Park.
Yes.
So, Hashem will help, hopefully, and we'll find a big sponsor for that. Someone who wants this great chos.
For sure you will. And if anybody listening wants to give any amount of money, it could be $18, it could be $1,800, any amount of money, how could they find you?
They could, there's a site called mightymoms.love.
I'm sorry, say it again, Mighty Moms?
Mightymoms.love.
Mightymoms.love, L-O-V, okay.
Or they could Zelle or PayPal, donate@mishpachtenu.org.
donate@mishpachtenu.org. Okay, I'm going to include all this information in my show notes so that people can contact you and people can donate if they want. Okay, thank you. And I also know that in addition to money, in addition to funds, you also accept donations for the food pantry. Like if instead of sending money, people want to send you a box of ketchup, a box of crackers, a box of cereal, like, from Amazon, they could just ship it to you.
Right.
And so how does that work? Where would they send it? Is there a link on your website, on the Mishpachtenu website, if I put that in the show notes, where people can send?
I don't know if my address is there, but I can give it to you.
You'll give it to me. Anybody who wants to send something like from Amazon, I will put my email in the show notes. And if you can email me, I will give you Yehuda's address, and then you can Amazon it over to her, and then she will have it for her food pantry.
They could email to me what I need in the pantry. Also I give somebody just donated a bunch of makeup.
Oh.
Someone donated, Clothes House just donated a bunch of tablecloths and towels and linen. I give it out. The women are thrilled.
Perfect. So, oh, that's great. That's perfect. Okay. So I will include, I will connect anybody who wants to donate either money or food or household items to Yehuda's for Mishpatenu. I'm going to put in my email and you can get in touch with me, and I'll make it happen. I'll be the middleman, and I will get them in touch with you. And this way they can give the donations to you. And I think it's wonderful. And so many, so many women can benefit.
I also want to mention that I have every once in a while, I have events during the week. Chevy Wiggs, she just hosted in her salon. She just hosted free makeovers, massages, doing the shaitels. the women, and we had Baba Haber speaking.
Very nice.
The women walked out like queens. When do they treat themselves to something like this?
That's amazing that she donated. I know who you're talking about, Chevy Swiggs. That's so beautiful that she was able to donate that. That's such a huge mitzvah. It really, really does. Like, you don't think, I mean, yes, you think about the food and the clothing and the shelter, but you don't think about all those other little things, the makeup, the massages, the manicure, the pedicure, those things that make women feel like women. Like, it makes us feel human and not like schmatas, you know?
Right. And then we had someone do an art class, a paint class with the women. So every once in a while, so if someone wants to donate, you know, their time, or they have a certain skill, we'll take that also. We have dance classes. Someone donate offered to do dance classes. So that I would take also. But the main thing is I need a function and I need money to do that.
Of course.
And it's very, very expensive to run this place.
Right. I can imagine because you provide, I mean, it's not just one or two or three or five people you're serving. You're serving, how many would you say, like in a month, how many women do you feel like you're serving?
So usually the beds are full. I have 11 beds. I even have people sometimes sleeping on the couches because people want to come. Right. I got a folding bed now in case, you know, someone's willing to do that. I usually have a waiting list of, so sleeping, I have about 11 beds, and the walk-ins, it depends on the week. It could be 10 people, 20 people. It depends on, so I usually have around 20, 25, 30, depending on the week.
Right. So you really, it's over 100, well over 100 people a month that you're servicing. And that's just with
the meals.
Some
of them are the same people, right. But from the time I started, I have a guest list of 400 people that have been here.
Right. And then plus the food pantry, right? Are the people, just out of curiosity, are the people who come to the food pantry always the same people that come to your Shabbos table, or do you sometimes get different people for that?
So I have a lot of parents that come with their kids, and those, a lot of them are not part of my Shabbosim.
Okay.
They're, you know, but it's very, very few of those. It's mostly the women that come to me. I have so many ladies here that it's hard to, there's so many single women, and I don't have that big of a pantry yet. If I had a big grocery store and a big warehouse, I'd be able to take in more people. But there's a limited amount of funds that I have. So it's mainly for the Mishpachtenu members.
And I totally understand that. And hopefully, listen, God willing, one day maybe you'll expand and you'll include more people. I think that would be amazing. But so we have time for one last question. I want to ask you, you created such an important and necessary organization that meets the needs of so many women that would have otherwise been struggling without the services that you provide, like you said earlier. So I want to ask you, what does Mishpachtenu mean to you personally? Why is this organization so important to you?
First of all, my Shabbosim have become so elevated, and the women and the Shabbosim of all these women, we love Shabbos, we look forward to Shabbos, and I know that if not for these Shabbosim, these women would be sitting by themselves dreading Shabbos. They would not, I don't even want to, you know, a lot of the women tell me that they'd be on the computer on Shabbos, and it's just transformed my life, and I know that it's Baruch Hashem transformed a lot of these women. So I just, my whole week, I feel like I'm singing and dancing because Shabbos is coming, and I didn't have that before.
Right.
I always loved Shabbos, but this is just that I'm getting ready for it all week, and it just became a very elevated week and an elevated Shabbos. And I can't say that I knew that this is what Shabbos was all about every till now. So I feel like I got a gift.
Isn't that interesting how Hashem sends us through the pain? He sends us a gift.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow. It's such a beautiful perspective. It's such an interesting perspective. And it's also such a perspective that offers so much hope to so many, you know, because when you're going through so much pain, sometimes all you could see is pain. And how could this be good? And you're turning left and you're turning right. And you're like, what? How is good coming out of this? How is this in any way good? Like you just can't see it, for lack of a better way to put it. You just can't see the good in the pain. And then maybe with time, hopefully with time, you'll learn to see that something good came out of it. You learn to turn your pain into gain, as you said earlier. And I just think it's so beautiful.
Right? We have a choice to become bitter or to become better. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, a lot of the women who saw what I went through, you know, in my divorce, they didn't understand why I was still smiling.
Right.
But I think that Mishpachtenu is what really helped me become, helped me smile, helped me by giving your living. That's really what it is.
100%. And you're such an inspiration to so many. So thank you. Thank you so much, Yehudis, for joining us
thank
on America's
you.
Top
Thank
Rebbetzin.
You for having me.
It was
thank
really,
you.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to have you, and may the tremendous learning that we did today be for Refuah Shelema, for Lior Ben Michal, Lotan Ben Naomi, Matan Ben Miriam, and also Mayan Ben Raheli. Thank you so much again. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.